Make the choice to begin anywhere in your life, and the journey has started.
We exist more than just to educate. We exist to also revitalize.
And along the way, you can inspire others and be inspired.
But now there's a new generation of scholars, and I am among them.
If you really want to know who you are and what you are capable of, Howard is the choice for you.
Take a moment. Listen to the stories by joining the president of Howard University, Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, and his guest on The Journey.
As one of the leading trauma surgeons in the U.S., he works to save the lives of hundreds of patients who enter the emergency room at Howard University Hospital with traumatic injuries. The tireless hours he spends in the emergency room, the operating room, and in the intensive care unit are a testament to the scourge of violence in cities across this nation, the driving force behind his why and his passion project, advocating for violence prevention in American communities. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guest today on The Journey is the LaSalle D. LaFall Jr. Professor and Chairman of Surgery at Howard University College of Medicine and Surgeon-in-Chief at Howard University Hospital, my friend and colleague, Dr. Edward E. Cornwell III. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. President.
So one of the things I always tell people I love about Washington, D.C. is meeting true Washingtonians, of which you were one. Tell me what growing up in Washington, D.C. was like.
It was a great cocoon amongst a country that was in strife during my formative years. I was born in Freedman's Hospital, the same building where Howard's radio and television station are. And my life as a, you know, elementary school and great mid school and high school student was about studies, sports, my Redskins, my Washington Senators that nobody's ever heard of, and having an embarrassment of riches in terms of role models that I would be an adult before I recognized how rich that experience was. I remember a dear friend of yours and mine once telling me at the time of his mother's funeral, where we all had a chance to celebrate her life and the upbringing they had given us, about an experience he had when he did his internal medicine residency at a majority institution, where at the end of his training, the day of celebration included some lighthearted jokes from his colleagues, his white colleagues. And they, thinking they were just joking, gave him an award as the whitest black man that they knew. And when he received it in good nature, he also stunned them when he informed them that he grew up in Washington, D.C. And before he went to that majority institution, having been surrounded by doctors, he never met a white doctor. I love that story because there are many people in this country that don't know that there are pockets like this, typically cities that have an HBCU, and obviously a city that has a school like Howard that has so many professional schools within the university.
Exactly right.
Leads to a black middle class that goes back over centuries, really a century and a half, because of the school, the presence of Howard University. And so that was the richness of my childhood and being surrounded by role models in the profession.
Now, obviously, you got into trauma and got into trauma at a time where gun violence in urban cities in this country was increasing. And I think sometimes what's portrayed around that, its connection to the ills of society, drugs, etc., is often morphed in a way that few people really have a full understanding of it. But you have. You've now operated in three urban cities with all of those ills and seen it potentially kind of change from your experience at USC, LA County, and then at Hopkins in Baltimore as chief of trauma there, and now at Howard, almost in three different decades. What are your observations as to why we have this issue, why is the African-American male in particularly plagued by it, and potentially what are those solutions?
It's a great problem, a complicated problem. As you well know, you can have a whole seminar on it. The USC experience was born of me doing my surgical residency there, and at the time was the busiest trauma center in the country, and so it was a natural for me to choose going into trauma and critical care. I love the surgical physiology It almost ensures that if you're going to do it in a, on a large scale basis, you'll be at an academic center. And I love the teaching, the research, and being involved with training of students and teaching of residents. If I were to try to summarize this complicated multifactorial problem, I would do it in the following way, almost the magic wand issue. Two parents in a home, and the glamorization of violence. We have glamorized violence in such a way that it's almost immunized. I was at a dinner with my brother-in-law, nephews, and son, a lunch just yesterday at one of these places in downtown Baltimore, and the motif is that's very informal, and the kids can run around, and they'll set up video games on the wall while you're in there having dinner. And the game that I saw where people were just getting blown away because they happened to cross the scope of the person with the gun, it just stupefying. I don't want to oversimplify it because it's a complicated problem that we don't have responsible discourse in. When you start talking about violence in America, you're talking about all the buzzword topics that we have so much trouble having collegial debate on. Guns, criminal justice, race, poverty, health care, insurance. Because you can tack off the risk factors for being a perpetrator or victim of violence. But it starts long before those 16, 17, 18-year-olds come into the emergency department. It starts with education, two parents in a home. There's more guns in America than there are people in America. You could stop them today and they'll still be there. And so, and the fact is, if you talk honestly about it, you know you're doing it well if you enrage the right and the left. If you get your conservatives mad because you're talking about the racial aspect of it and poverty, and you get progressives mad if you talk about the importance of a solid family structure. And so that's what I always try to do, make sure I'm enraging both ends of the political spectrum to keep it real.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Dr. Edward E. Cornwell III, the LaSalle D. LaFall Jr. Professor and Chairman of Surgery at Howard University College of Medicine and Surgeon-in-Chief at Howard University Hospital. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. So just to switch gears a bit, you are the holder of the LaSalle D. LaFall endowed professorship. And obviously, he was a great mentor whom we've lost. What are some of the things you take away, especially as you assume not just the role, but occupying the LaSalle LaFall endowed chair at the university?
Well, first, it's a great responsibility and honor to even have that name, you know, to have that endowment with that name for the man who, outside of my own father, was the second most impactful man in my life. And I dare say that you and I are among the over 6,000 medical students that he helped train on his time with the faculty that began in 1962. I dare say that a substantial proportion of them would say the same thing that we say. He is a leader in the true sense of the word. Leaders are people that know the way, go the way, and show the way. I learned that you can't, when you have that name, you can't try to be him. But if you can emulate him, you'll be everything that you need to be in terms of a teacher, a humanitarian, and a surgeon. And so every generation of his many generations of students has their favorite LaFall story. When I was a medical student, we were in our early and mid-20s, and he was in his 50s. And it was a chore to keep up with him on 6:30 rounds, 6:30 a.m. surgical rounds, which typically started at 6:27. And just the enthusiasm for teaching, learning, a lifelong teacher and learner. The things that that man did after his 80th birthday as a charter day speaker and author of two books at his desk at 6 o'clock every morning, teaching award recipient, and a enthusiastic teacher and participant in conferences is just staggering. I can't say enough about my hero and mentor, Dr. LaFall.
So as you have navigated your career, which has been absolutely significant and in its own right, something that many would speak about and many like myself have been in awe of as you have risen through American surgery, you are currently the Secretary of the American College of Surgeons, a position held by your mentor, Dr. LaFall. Here we are at Howard University Department of Surgery, and two men at this institution would have held that position. What do you see for the future of the American College of Surgeons, and as you play that role in the American College of Surgeons, its influence on the broader narrative of where we're heading with African Americans participating in surgery?
It, yet again, something we owe a great deal to Dr. LaFall for. He was, that's true, the first a secretary of the American College of Surgeons. He's also the first African-American president of the American College of Surgeons. The college was not doing him a favor when they bestowed that honor. They were choosing the best spokesman for surgery that you could ever have. Any person that would see Dr. LaFall during any part of 50 years of productive public speaking would say that is the best public speaker in academic surgery that they'd ever seen. He is a flat-out cheerleader for all that is good for surgery. Humanism, the desire for best outcomes. And before sexy terms such as outcome disparities came to the forefront, Dr. LaFall, also the first African-American president of the American Cancer Society, was talking about cancer in blacks, increased incidence, worse outcomes, and those sorts of things. So he laid the groundwork for people like me to have that position. And now the college talks a lot more about quality, patient care, evidence-based care of patients, and a significantly greater proportion of time spent on outcome disparities, as well as diversity of the workforce.
Now, I've grown up around sports and sportsmen, athletes, sportswomen, and I have met very few who can rival you for sports trivia. So to take a little bit of a switch, since this was totally unprepared, I didn't share any of these notes with you before. Who won the sixth Super Bowl?
The sixth Super Bowl, let me see, 1, 2, 3 would be the Jets. So then the fourth would have been the Kansas City Chiefs. Then Baltimore won a real sorry game. So the sixth would have been the Miami Dolphins 24-3 over the Dallas Cowboys with Dwayne Thomas as their back.
Now, as we wrap up, today there are lots of pressures on young people to do all types of different things, technology taking off where it is. Everyone is a broadcaster, in my opinion, with social media at any given time. Why medicine, and more important, in the words of Dr. LaFall, to be a physician is the most noble thing that you could do, and the most noble of those is a surgeon. Why?
The relationship between a patient and his or her surgeon is the most intimate relationship that exists between a professional and his or her client or customer. There's few things that we do where we turn total control over to someone else. When I get off an airplane, I always stick my head in the cockpit and say, "Nice flight, Captain." I don't know a darn thing about aviation. I don't know what a nice flight is, except that I'm walking away from the plane. And I've turned total control over to that person. When I let an anesthesiologist put me to sleep and a surgeon operate on me, you're turning total confidence into that. And so to be given that responsibility and that privilege is the highest order form. So Dr. LaFall taught us, and he lived that way. And those of us that love and emulate him try to carry on in that tradition. And also, it's the ultimate platform where justice, social justice, can be practiced. You have the opportunity to use the platform that you gain from your work. Whatever credibility that people give you for having the white coat, the black face, the bloody red hands, to make your case based on the best of your patient. We get into some vigorous, passionate debates, but as long as your debate is driven from best outcomes from your patients, you have a firm stance of credibility, and then those arguments become fun.
Thanks for being here. My guest today has been Edward E. Cornwell III, the LaSalle D. LaFall Professor and Chairman of Surgery at Howard University College of Medicine and Surgeon-in-Chief at Howard University Hospital. I would dare say that Dr. LaFall has planted many a seed in many of us, and this is one oak tree that he would be very happy to see swaying on the issue of social justice and surgery. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.